Let's do it again, Ben.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at the economy as we begin the trading day. On Martha's Vineyard, President Obama started his day by officially renominating Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke to a second term at that post.
Ben approached a financial system on the verge of collapse with calm and wisdom, with bold action and out-of-the-box thinking that has helped put the brakes on our economic freefall.
The financial crisis has been both dove and albatross for Bernanke, who's been one of its most prominent public faces. More on that coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. We have markets rising for the Dow, up about 0.5%. As a matter of fact, same for the NASDAQ and S&P 500. Europe's up as well. It swung to being up after being down for most of the day. FTSE's pretty much flat, and Asia closed mixed today. Chinese shares were down about 2.5%. Well, let's bring in and get a reaction from the Bernanke renomination. Julie Nieman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's joining us live from St. Louis this morning. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So you called this some time back. How does this announcement affect a jittery economy?
Amazing prescience, isn't it? I pride myself on my stunning ability to grasp the obvious, but the key is here, you don't change horses midstream, not unless you want to drown. And the markets can't stand up, people, and any change at this point would have sent the markets into a tailspin. Bottom line is, he says he can call the turn and rein in all this liquidity in time to keep inflation from being a huge problem. If he were not there to do it, who's going to do it? It's going to be his call.
Yeah, let's hear from the man himself. Here's the pledge that the Fed chairman made as he stood next to the president this morning.
I will work to the utmost of my abilities with my colleagues at the Federal Reserve and alongside the Congress and the administration to help provide a solid foundation for growth and prosperity in an environment of price stability.
Marketplace's Steve Henn is gauging the reaction in Washington for us, along with Julie Nieman. He joins us live as well. Steve, what are the political maneuvers going on in the Senate for this confirmation?
Well, Steve, unless there's some kind of really enormous unexpected crisis in the economy or some huge misstep, this is really probably a done deal in the Senate. It seems very unlikely that Bernanke is going to run into any significant problems. Christopher Dodd, the Senate banking chairman's already released a statement saying, you know, despite serious differences he had with the Fed chairman in the past, Bernanke's the right person for this job right now. This doesn't mean that all fights in Washington over the Fed's role in the economy, especially regulating the economy, are settled. But for now, it's a pretty safe bet that Bernanke will sail through the Senate nomination process.
Julie, thoughts on the confirmation?
Well, there are lots of young turkeys, I mean young Turks, that were stumping and bumping to succeed him as the world's most important banker here. But Wall Street wants to know what will be happening. They know his policies. They know what he's going to do. They don't want to speculate on somebody else.
And quickly, Julie, the Case-Shiller Home Price Index showed its first quarterly increase in 3 years. Housing downturn buster, do you think?
Well, I did throw up a piece of confetti. You know, this is the second great month that we've had, and it's not great. Bottom line, the good news is we're not plunging anymore, but we're not turning. There's been no splat here. And you have to keep in mind also, this is seasonal. This is when everybody does basically get out there and move, and interest rates are still very facilitating here. But overhanging all of it, 7 million houses still unsold. So this is not cause for rejoicing. It's just a little less pain.
All right, Julie Nieman joining us live in St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
Marketplace's Steve Henn in Washington, thanks to you as well.
Sure thing.
All right.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
In these tough economic times, it turns out money really can buy you love. Or at least to date. Sally Herships has more.
Jan Landy is 58. He sells professional sound and lighting equipment in Las Vegas. He's what you might call a connoisseur of online dating sites. He says he's tried them all, from eHarmony to The Onion. His current favorite is MillionaireMatch.com. He says the site lets big earners like him certify their incomes. Landy had to send in a copy of his tax return.
Because what happens is when you're on Millionaire Match, you actually think you're going to meet a millionaire.
And are you?
Well, some people are millionaires. I happen to be a certified millionaire, and that really helps in casting the net.
for the younger, attractive women Landy was hoping to meet. But actually, Landy's onto something. According to Ray Fisman, he's a behavioral economist at Columbia Business School. He used to run a speed dating service.
Yes, if you want to put it very coarsely, and maybe you shouldn't put this on there, the gold digger stereotype holds true.
Fisman has studied daters. He says if a man's earning capacity goes up by about a quarter million, it can have the same effect as the ultimate makeover, turning him from extremely unattractive to extremely, well, hot. But sorry, single ladies, the reverse isn't true.
There's basically no sum of money that will make an unattractive woman desirable on these sites.
Fisman says online, looks are the main currency for women. But for men like Landy, answering queries about your bank balance can help you get a date. But even though science says money is a surefire online aphrodisiac, there's still one problem. How do you know if online daters are being honest? Landy says, take his new girlfriend. She drives a Lexus.
What's the story on the car? Is it leased? I have no idea. What am I going to do, go through her glove compartment and look at her registration? It ain't going to happen.
And Fisman says, even when sites seem to have nailed the right questions to ask, it's still hard to know if they're successful at matching.
Very often we don't observe these outcomes, and in fact, in many cases, the companies themselves don't observe these outcomes.
Who knows, Fisman says, what will happen with a relationship 40 years from now? Landy just canceled his membership on Millionaire Match. He's going to see how things go with his current girlfriend, the one with the nice car. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Reminder, the economy still needs lots of love. The White House and officials there are projecting lingering high unemployment, peaking at 10%. The administration's also predicting a massive 10-year federal deficit of $9 trillion. In May, officials had said the deficit would be $7 trillion. Check us out at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.